All right, Callahan and Torty back here this week in Pro Football Week number 2 in the National Football League on 97.5. The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. That's 610-632-0975. Get on the phone right now and talk to the man himself, Christopher Harris from harrisfootball.com. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
All right. So how you holding up there in this ungodly hour of 8:30 out there in Los Angeles?
I'm not going to lie to you, dude. I'm in bed.
Man, must be nice.
I'll start lying, Chris. Will you please? We don't need to know anything more than that. Okay, pal? But, all right. Well, I'm sure you can still be every bit the professional, okay, while we do this little segment here, no matter where you happen to be reposing, okay? All right, let me get started here, Chris. Here we are, week 2, and already there's numerous injuries to have to worry about. So I'm going to hit you with a hypothetical that applies to me. Given Aaron Rodgers and the situation now with Rodgers and how coy the Packers are being, and also Devontae Adams is back up, pick 2 of these for me. That would be White, the Patriots running back, okay? Amari Cooper, everybody's favorite, one catch, 9 yards last week. Golden Tate, Devontae Adams. Give me 2 of them guys for tomorrow.
I can't not use Adams, honestly. I think it's probably, for me, Adams and Tate. I'm with you on James White. I'm out on James White. I was before the year started. He just doesn't handle it enough as a running back. So, of course, there are going to be a few games where you feel dumb for not starting them because they'll catch 8 balls, and maybe against Jacksonville, that's one of them, but I can sleep at night. I can actually sleep right now with the idea that James White is a bye week sort of dude. When I'm desperate, if I've got other good options, I'm probably going to use him.
Chris, let me ask you this. I'm in a 10-team league, and someone who drafted Le'Veon Bell, who's not me, second overall, is desperate to get rid of this guy and is literally hitting up every manager in our league for trade value. Now, he hit me up for Dalvin Cook, which was never going to happen. But if you're making a trade involving Le'Veon Bell, what's the worthwhile risk to take on if you're trading a running back for Le'Veon Bell? How far down on your list would you go in, say, a one-for-one trade?
It's a really good question, and I get asked it a lot, and I'll say this. There's no, like, the definition of a market is that people understand what they're exchanging in terms of goods and services. It's almost like, I'm holding my hand behind my back, and I go, hey, how much will you give me for the thing I'm holding here? And you're like, what? You know?
It could be anything. Impossible. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But still, it's a worthwhile question, and I had to try to figure it out because I put ranks for the rest of the season on the Harris Football website. And I wound up putting him one spot ahead of Marshawn Lynch. So if someone offered me Marshawn Lynch for Le'Veon Bell, I think I'd probably do it if I could get Bell in that trade. I think I'd probably do it because what's Lynch really going to give me? There are going to be some weeks where he's good and probably some weeks where he's not. And he's probably down low enough on my list where I go, okay, I have other running backs that I can live with and not have Lynch. So, But that's low, let's face it, because we just don't know what the result's going to be.
Boy, isn't that something that you're talking about Le'Veon Bell for Marshawn Lynch. I don't know, Chris. I mean, $857,000 a week. I mean, that's Harris-type money that he is leaving on the table. And that's going to be $1.7 million in 2 weeks that he's left on the table. And he's got to be looking at that saying, now, how much more am I going to get in a signing bonus when I do leave the Steelers? It just seems crazy to me.
I mean, here's the thing. I even though he's not being public about it, I have to believe there's some part of this that's in his way of thinking, a fight for justice for the players more than, I've got enough money. I'm with you at some point, $800,000 a week, it starts adding up to real money. But yeah, I'm sort of with you that, it seems like it's also about the principle.
Chris, I've got another one for you, and I know our producer Tyler Zuli also has a fantasy question that he'd love to get to, but I made a waiver wire pickup for this upcoming week of Brandon Marshall in Seattle based on what he did last week, based on Doug Baldwin. As far as you can tell, is that a savvy move, or is this going to be kind of a flash in the pan thing for Brandon Marshall?
I think it can be both. I mean, I ranked him for this week around 40 among wide receivers. If there's one thing about we know about Brandon Marshall, his whole life he's known how to score touchdowns. I don't think that goes away. He actually had 2 in the game against Denver last week. One was called back for offensive interference because he knows how to push off too. You get to the point among receivers where there's no sure bets and he's not one either, but with no Doug Baldwin for at least a few weeks, I can see using him as a wide receiver three in kind of a desperate situation. I don't think we're going to look back in November and say, remember that time when we added Brandon Marshall and he was, you know, became a top 10 fantasy receiver. That's probably not on the table.
So, Chris, I know we saw it this week already on Thursday night, and it kind of worries me moving forward. The whole Buck Allen, Alex Collins situations, it just seems like it's going to be a back and forth all year. Is owning either of them, both of them, none of them, what would be your play moving forward?
I mean, you're pot committed on Alex Collins for the price you paid. He was going the second round by the time the drafts were over, and I warned people, he's just not an elite player. Don't take him at that price. He's still a better player than Buck Allen, and that game on Thursday night, he got out of, that game script got out of control. But what that tells you is that when the Ravens are trailing, it's not going to be Alex Collins. It's going to be Allen. I don't know what the goal line thing was about. Usually that's out week one, that was Alex Collins. You had Troy Aikman during the broadcast going, well, gee, that's just what they do. He's their goal line back. Buck Allen's their goal line back. And I'm like, wait, who told, did somebody tell him that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's real bad. Yeah, yeah. If that's the case, I certainly value Collins a lot higher than I value Allen, but I'm not super optimistic about either.
Boy, what a mess. We are 2 weeks in and so many questions, Chris. By the way, 610-632-0975. You have a closing window to get a hold of Harris here with your fantasy question. I noticed, Chris, in your quarterback rankings, at least for 1 week, you're kind of off the Deshaun Watson magic bus against Tennessee. And another comment, Chris, you have Tom Brady 7, which I understand, and you being a New Englander, it would be sacrilege not to have Tom top 10. But you have Chris Hogan 33. So, I mean, you're banking everything. In terms of Brady's success tomorrow, you're banking everything on Gronk. Is that right?
I'll say about Watson, I had Watson ranked like 14 for the season this summer. So I just am not surprised that he struggled. I think he's going to be good eventually. The player I actually compare him to is Donovan McNabb for his career. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be a pretty great career upside for him. I don't think he's there yet. And so that's kind of, it's not about the matchup against Tennessee. It's about doubting the player to some degree. With Brady, my ranks aren't meant to be like a projection, like this is an exact snapshot of how the world's going to turn out. I had AJ Green pretty high among receivers. I had Andy Dalton pretty low among quarterbacks. It turned out that because Green had a good day, Dalton had a good day. But Green can have a good day without Dalton being good, and Brady can be good without any individual one of his receivers being good. It's more about the order in which I would start players, right? And so Hogan scares me a little bit against Jacksonville because against those outside corners, I don't know if he gets open, but I think someone does. I think Brady can throw it 100 times to the running backs. My point here is with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, I don't like either matchup. Those are probably the two best defenses in the league they're facing. So maybe Philly, notwithstanding, it's a pretty great defense too. But I'm still just always going to start Rodgers and Brady.
All right.
Let's cram in one caller fantasy question before we let you go, Chris. Let's go to Giovanni in Ambler wants to ask you something. You're on with Chris Harris.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Just wanted to get your thoughts on a non-PPR league flex situation with Golden Tate, Kenny Stills, and then Aguilar.
Yeah, I mean, Aguilar gets more attractive, right, because no Alshon, at least for now. I still have to go Tate. Even non-PPR, he scores the touchdown in garbage against Jets in that game. But, Galladay definitely crowds that Lions receiving core for sure. But Tate just does different things than Galladay and Marvin Jones. He's just a possession guy. That's usually what that offense wants to be. They fell behind big, so they didn't run the possession stuff. I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about that line, but I like the Lions in that game to cover the spread.
Oh,
and
man.
I know, but in the NFL, things are never as good as
that's
bad as
true.
They seem.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But boy, they better not be as bad as they seem for Detroit.
Right.
They were unbelievable,
terrible.
Chris. All right, listen, here's Chris Harris.
Here's the thing about Stafford. Let me make a quick point about Stafford. We've all seen him not be a great quarterback. He's okay, but he's not that guy. He's not the guy who misses linebackers, who just doesn't see the field. He's good enough to get that stuff right, and when he does, players like Tate do pretty well.
He's Stat Padford. That's who he is. You nailed him down. That's it. He is Stat Padford. That's what he does. And in Detroit, oh, my God, was that an abysmal performance Monday night. I don't know, man. The only thing I noticed from that game is Matt Patricia looks like he gained 115 pounds from the time he left New England to when he went to Detroit. I don't know, man. A lot of deep dish going on there. But all right, Chris, we appreciate it very much. A lot of good information. And everybody, please check this website out, harrisfootball.com. It's the best fantasy website out there.